What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome you to another episode of Porch Talk. This is your host, Alan, and I got an old friend with me. Grew up with a guy and played a lot of Halo together. Rode a lot of dirt roads. There is a curve named the Skitty Strip after my guest. And now he is going to share a little bit about what he's been up to lately, his latest passion. And so, without further introduction, here is Scott Gruber. Man, how you doing?
Man, I'm doing pretty good. And for the record, that road would have never, or that little strip would have never got my name if I didn't get stuck, and it took like three trucks to get me out.
It was impressive how stuck it got. So, to tell you the tale of the take is, it was one day after school.
Yep.
And Scott had a Mustang. It was a V6, right?
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't impressive, but it was fun down some dirt roads.
Yes, it was. And you had Sid in his little Nissan Frontier single cab. You had Jaleb in his F-150 single cab. And you had Trey in a crew cab. It was the White Lightning.
Oh, yes, it was. He had the big truck there.
And Sid went first. Mm-hmm. He came out of the curve proper.
Perfect.
Jaleb came out fine.
Yep.
Scott went in right in the ditch.
Yep. I don't know why. Always happened. Every time there was a curve involved, my car got stuck. Just like when, I think it was the same group, too. A little ways down the road, like
yeah.
A year later, going down the road, going through a curve, and I was staring at the person behind me.
Yeah. I was like, this did not end up right. But those were the days, right? That was back when MTV still played music. I remember we'd be hanging out at each other's houses and watching Taking Back Sunday music videos and playing Halo. And, man, what did you have any idea what life would look like now?
No, I've actually... if half the stuff I could say that I thought was going to be around or, like, I'd be into back then could not be probably said on air anywhere. But, I mean, just generally speaking, like... all of us, like back then, we were thick as thieves. I mean, like none of our parents really worried about where we were.
Because we were together.
Yeah, it's like because we ran like 7-8 people deep all the time.
Yeah.
So if one of us went down for something, all of us were going down.
Yeah.
So, and then, life happened. You know, grew up.
Yeah.
Went to college. Some of us, like me, decided to join the military and just dip out.
Yeah. I decided to go down to Mobile for a while.
Yeah, we have. I mean, half of us still... there's still a pretty good bit of us that don't even see each other that often.
That's what's crazy. So, is like I remember, just like you said, we were the thickest thieves. And it seemed like...
if one of us got in trouble, the other one was there with us.
Right. And now it's like, when do you see that guy? When's the last time you heard from him? You know? And that's usually like the conversation is like, I try to call Sid like at least once a week. And that's always something that comes up. Hey, man, you see Scott, tell him I said, what's up, you know?
Well, I was about to say, the funny thing is, I haven't seen Sid in probably the same amount of time as I haven't seen you.
Yeah.
I was about to say, because I mean, I think because when I saw him, I think I was either on leave from the military or I'd just gotten back. So, like, I was bouncing around places and so on and so forth. And, yeah, I know we met up. We watched a football game down in Mobile. Or, no, it's Foley.
We were down in Foley. Foley.
And then, yeah, I came back. I hadn't seen him pretty much since. And, like, you know, he comes back to town every once in a while, but we just, our schedules don't meet up. I mean, I'm just alone with two kids now. And yeah, that's
kind of where we are. We're going to break off into music. This is Friend of Mine by Justin Peter Kinkle Schuster, JPKS. Then we're going to roll right back into the show. I am completely behind what you got going on now, and man, I was glad to catch it just from where it started. And so just a little bit about AD investing and just AD is average dude investing. And so just a little bit about that.
Well, that itself was a complete fluke because I was sitting there trying to name my little channel or something. And I was like, man, I don't know what I'm going to name this thing. I was like, I can't be using my real name because what if you get, you know, creeps trying to, you know,
right,
stalk me or something. Because my goal was, like I've said in my, you know, channel, to eventually hit $100,000 in a portfolio. So I was like, I don't want my real name out there, you know. I don't want, you know, people to know, you know, hey, you know, yeah, it's this person. And so look up his Facebook, he's got all this. So I was like, all right, well, what can I go by on that channel to, you know? And I sat there for like an hour, hour and a half, 2-3 hours, just completely brain dead, couldn't think of anything. And I finally, I was just sitting there, I was like, man, I'm just an average dude, you know?
Yeah.
And then I was like, A&D, that can work.
Yeah.
And that was literally just like a holder, like, title for it. But, I mean, after saying it a few times in some of my videos, I was just like, all right, I'm just going to keep it.
Yeah.
So, because, like, it has, like, different meanings, like, average dude, which is me, because I'm nobody special. I mean, you've known me my entire life. It ain't like I, you know, it ain't like I'm, like, Bill Gates or somebody, you know,
yeah,
tossing money. I'm just me.
Yeah. This guy.
So, and then, like, AD also stands for all dividends, which is the way my strategy works, because I'm mainly creating a portfolio for dividends, which is like the money you get for holding on to a company stock.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it just has several different meanings, so.
Yeah, man. And just to start right there is, man, just outside looking in, and when you and I were first talking about investing, you know, I told you that I wanted to invest. I just didn't know really what the heck I was doing. And you started breaking down, like, well, do you want to be risky or do you want to play conservative, or, you know, how do you want to do this?
Oh, yeah. I was about to say, that's one of the big things. There's lots of strategies, lots of different platforms you can use. I actually use 3 different platforms. Like, you know, Robinhood, which is, yeah, the one I have my portfolio for the dividends on, because, it, you know.
Did you get the reference stock?
I did, actually.
Yeah. Cool.
I was about to say, it was some mining company.
Mine was trash.
Oh, man, that, I mean, I, free stocks is mainly just come for free money. I was about to say, because I think, like, I've seen 2 big stocks be dropped. One of them was for me. It was Microsoft. I got a share of Microsoft. But at the time, I didn't know what I wanted to do with it, and it jumped up like $30, and I was like, ah, you know.
Got out.
Yeah. I was like, I'm taking my money, and I'm doing something else. And the other one I saw was like Johnson & Johnson, which, you know, it's not as high as my, oh, at the time, it wasn't as high as Microsoft, but I mean, it's $100-something stock, so I mean.
Yeah.
And someone else got that one, so that was all cool and all, but like, I use 3 different platforms. I use TD Ameritrade, Robinhood, and Webull. And 2 of them are free platforms. Used to be really heavy in TD Ameritrade, which was like, I don't want to say this, you know, with the grown-ups, you know, it has all the technical, you know, stuff like that. It's very confusing if you've never done it before.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually started using that one probably about 4 or 5 years ago, and I was actively day trading. And it was back when my wife was pregnant with my daughter. And I was like, well, I'm going to throw like $500 into this and see where I can, you know, get it.
Yeah.
And I actually got it up to like $25,000. Yeah, it is. Like, but I was heavy into this thing. Like,
yeah, you was watching.
Yeah, like, I, like, my wife could probably tell you, around that time, I was like heavy. Like it had become an addiction to me. And it became so much of an addiction that in one day, in a 10-minute span, I lost $10,000.
Jeez.
Yeah, like, literally, like, I was talking to her, I processed my trade, and I sat there and I just watched it. Within, like, 10 minutes, just straight down. Mm-hmm. And then, I had to panic sell because I was at $25,000, and that's, like, half of what I had built up over, like, a 4-month span.
Uh-huh.
So, like, I panic sold, I got out of it. And then, like, I started second-guessing myself. I was like, man, I don't need to be doing this. I was like, I just lost $10,000. And,
You buy it back?
No, it was Amazon, believe it or not.
Wow.
Yeah, and this is what's so funny. Like, Amazon was on a roll. Like, Jeff Bezos.
What year was this?
This was 2017.
Okay.
2017.
This was the year Tiger King was filmed.
This was the year.
Simpler times.
This was Trump's first 100 days in office. I don't know if you remember that, because it was a crazy time.
It was a crazy time in stock.
Yeah. And, like, stocks were just going to town. It was awesome.
Just for instance, like, Sid's talked about it forever. It's like, you know, usually, like, if me and Sid have a good 3-4 hours to sit down and talk, like, we'll usually end up talking about, like, the fact that we need to start investing. It's like, if we ever want to retire at 50, 55, at, you know, the world that we live in now, not possible unless we start using our money to make money.
I mean, that's...
And that would always be where the conversation is like, so what do we do? And it was always like, Sid actually done something, and I would always just be like, I'm stuck, I don't know. I don't know what to do.
It's kind of funny, because, like, basically, when we talk about this is, like, as we're older, you know, like, we've gained a lot of knowledge about things. We know how things, most things semi kind of work, yeah, so we know how to...
We're technological, so you can see a company and be like, that might be something.
But back in the day, this is the equivalent of us like, man, I got 3 games. Let's go to GameStop and cash these in. Like, cash these in. We're going to have some money for either this weekend or buy a new game or something like that. So, I mean, it's kind of the same thing, I guess, because you hold on to something and then sell it later on. But it's the only kind of little watered-down version I could think of. So, I was on a roll with Amazon. Like, I was buying what they call options, which is basically like gambling. But at the time, it wasn't gambling because you pretty much knew where the stock was going. The stocks were going up. I mean,
yeah, it was Trump's first 100 days.
Yeah, so like he'd been, you know, tariffs, this, that, and everything else, and we're like, all right. And it's like China. It's like we're gonna do what's called a put, which is where you're guessing, you know, that stock's going down, and like all the little Chinese stocks were putting puts on because they're just tanking now because he's talking about tariffs. And, like, all the American companies are going up and all this other stuff. And we're like, yeah. Like, there was a big group of us that were doing this. And we were, like, on rolls. And then the day it happened, I can tell you exactly the moment. I mean, I can't tell you the exact date, but I can tell you the exact moment this happened. And this was the day, all within a 24-hour span. Actually, it was probably, like, within a few hours of each other. Trump condemned Amazon. On national TV, and then fired, I think it was his first FBI head director.
Yeah.
It was in the same day. And when he condemned Amazon, it made it flatline. But like a few minutes later, it came out that the FBI director had resigned. Mm-hmm. And then after that, it just tailspinned all the way down. And Amazon went from being like, I think it was $2,100 to I think $17 within a week. Yeah, but like Amazon, when it moved, it moved. Like it was like, it wasn't like, oh, it gained 50 cents. It gained like $100 today. It lost 50 the next day, gained $200. But like, it was just straight. Like nothing was saving it.
Mm-hmm.
So when it hit that initial thing, all my options for it to go up, which were called calls, just fell through. And I tried to sell them, but like it was plummeting so fast that I couldn't sell them fast enough to get out of it.
Yeah.
So.
And just to go back to the three different apps that you use for investing, is you mentioned like some of the differences. For someone like me, like when you and I were talking, it's like, well, at best I could throw $100 at this. Like, what would you recommend? Like, worth for them to go? What would you do?
Well, that's gonna basically go down to just two main things. What exactly do you want to do? Which that's why I was asking, do you want to be conservative? Do you want to do long holds?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to do risky day trading?
Because yeah, and I told you that I was incredibly lazy and I'd fall behind. And I was like, I want to be conservative and I don't mind the dividend. I can hold a stock for 3 months and I can watch it plummet and come back up, and you know, I can watch it.
Well, I was about to say, well, like if you're a beginner and you're just wanting long hold, like Robinhood's pretty good. Webull is probably the next one. Both of them are free. So, like, Robinhood is definitely geared towards people that, like, don't really handle stocks and stuff, because you've seen it. It's very watered down.
Yeah.
Like, you buy, sell, trade, shares. Yeah.
And just to plug your channel, and we'll plug it more, is, like, you can catch Scott on YouTube, like, breaking down videos of, like, day-to-day stock and his journey to 100K. Okay. But also, is you can look at his Instagram. And, like, this is what I heavily follow, is, like, he'll show a real image, which is something I don't see. It's coming from a different site. is like you're showing a breakdown of like what happened during the day, the tank. I think that was one of the latest posts that you did, and I was like, man, I love the transparency of the page. It's like, it didn't do what I thought. This was a fail.
Oh, but we're holding on.
And, like, I feel like I'm just, like, gathering so much knowledge. It's like, I feel like I'm just like an intern to stocks, like, watching that. It's like, just hold on. And then, like, some guy commented about, well, what about them after hours, though? You know?
Yeah, and, like, it's funny because I think, like, he commented because I had, like, $14 that I gained in after hours, which to kind of put it into perspective, I had lost, like, $160 during the day.
Yeah.
So, like, a lot of people on there that's on my Instagram, we all follow each other, and most of us are YouTubers and stuff.
Yeah.
And we kind of put challenges towards each other and stuff like that. That guy, he was, me and him leave smart aleck, like, comments on each other's pages all the time.
Yeah.
But, like, it was a bad day. Like, it wasn't really a bad day. Because, believe it or not, that day, because I had told you the night before.
Yeah, because I bought that.
Yeah, I was like, I told you the night before. I was like, hey, it's going to dip. I was like, because I was looking at what they call futures, which is, like, sections of, like, Dow and everything else. And I was like, hey, I was like, it's going to dip tomorrow. So, if you're going to buy it, I'd wait and buy it, you know, after it opens up so it gets that good dip. Which, we really hadn't planned for today because it went down a little bit today, but that's negligible because I'll talk more about that here in a minute. But anyway, and it was funny because
let's just talk about the stock for a second. SPH, it's propane.
Yeah, Suburban Propane. There's the stock itself. There is the financials. They're decent. The main thing I wanted them for was their dividend ratio because. Their dividend per share was at 60 cents per share. And I know that doesn't sound like a lot to, you know, most people.
Yeah.
You know, 6 cents, well, you know, whatever. I can't buy anything. Well, you can buy, I guess, a can of Coke or something at, like,
maybe.
School.
Yeah, maybe.
But, so 60 cents ain't really that big of a deal. But when you think about it, you want to basically get into a stock when it's still low, like SPH right now. It was, what, like $15, $16?
I think I got it at, $15.32 a share. I think I got three shares.
That isn't what I got it at.
I got three shares of it.
But, so, 15, like you said, 30. Before everything crashed, which usually between February and March, if you look, most time it's literally February 20th is when it starts going down. But, and March is like the main just crash. But, before all that, it was trading like $22, $23. And that's where it maintained for a good long time. So, basically, you just look at that. It's like, okay, well, if it recovers, which most stocks have been recovering, you can actually see there's growth going on, you know, if you look at the charts for it. And you're like, okay, well, $15. I was like, if I throw it in here and say another quarter goes by, you know, the economy, you know, rebounds and stuff like that, well, that $15 is now $20.
Yeah.
And then you get 60 cents for every share that you own.
Right.
And I'm like OCD with the way I do it because if I buy something, it's going to be at least 10 shares because apparently I really hate doing math. So I was like, all right, well, if it's 60 cents, that's going to be $6 this quarter and so on.
Yeah.
But,
I'm over here $1.80. Fair enough.
Hey, I mean,
and then after the time's up, well, I have $1.80 made and plus whatever it's worth now, sell, get something more expensive.
I mean, that's pretty much the name of the game. If, like, you just want to flip stocks, which is one strategy. Like, mine is long holding. Like, I'm probably going to hold on to this to either that company either cuts their dividends, which means they're not going to pay for it anymore, goes under, or I die. So,
what a hurry.
It's a race to see which one happens first. So,
well, we're not in a real big hurry about the third, okay? We want to see about it.
But so that's what basically my whole strategy for this is to buy a bunch of companies, hold on to their stocks, and basically just, you know, keep building it up. And I have an app on my phone where I can, you know, tag them into it, and it actually keeps track of all that. So,
yeah, I wanted to ask you about, like, the work as far as, like, the day-to-day. I mean, you're working, you got a family, you got children.
Oh, yeah.
And so, like, just for people, it's like, I don't know if I just have the time. Like, how much time is invested? Like, I know you had probably, I don't know how many hours going into just learning, But now, just like as a day-to-day, like how much time do you spend looking at the market?
Honestly, here lately, probably about an hour. An hour every day. And it's not really... It's mainly because I do have... Like, if you look on my Robinhood, which I can show you, there is a watch list. And there's probably about 100 companies on there.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that's a lot. So what I usually end up doing...
I've got like 30 on mine.
Like, all mine are all dividends from either annual, monthly,
mm-hmm.
to quarterly. And I have it just sitting there. So what I'll end up doing is I'll look at percentage changes. Like, I'll change my little thing to percentage changes, just scroll down.
Mm-hmm.
If I see a negative, I'll click on it, see what it is, and so on and so forth. Because all these companies that have already, like, went, you know, looked through their financials, made sure they're not bankrupting. And, like, you know, the research part, it takes some time. But, I mean, if you, once you get established, like I told you, you know, the other day, I was like 30 minutes into the day after the bell rings. I was like, buy some shares when it dips down at the lowest point, and you're pretty much set.
Mm-hmm.
Which, most of the time, that's usually how I do things. And it's turned out pretty well so far. So, I mean, and I've only changed my strategies up a little bit. Not really anything major. It's just when stuff hasn't really panned out, like what we call entry points.
Mm-hmm.
Because certain stocks that were, you know, an entry point was at this level like a month ago isn't the same now. So, you know, it's, you know, went up. If you're sitting there thinking, like, I know last month if you get AT&T for under $30, you were golden. And, like, that was a good buy. Well, AT&T now is trading between $32, $33, sometimes $34 right now. Mm-hmm. And, like, even now during this crash, it's at $32.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not going to see $30, you know, or not the crash, but, you know, the dips today. You're not really going to see $30, you know, anytime soon. So you have to, like, readjust everything. So,
yeah.
And, I mean, it's basically what you believe the stock is worth.
Yeah.
Me, personally, I look at the highest it's ever been for, like, the last year or so. If it has, like, a good, you know, chance of, like, going back up to close to that, even maybe half or something like that. At least it, you know, has a little bit of growth is when I'll actually, you know, put more into it.
And maybe not just some of yours, but what are some of the popular websites or places to go just to look into, like, just as far as predictions or maybe just places to get a ding about, okay, you might want to look at it now.
Okay, so that's easy because there's tons of websites out there. You know, like, you can get different kind of scanners. The number one that I usually go to is Yahoo Finance. Because mm-hmm. believe it or not, I know Yahoo is kind of, you know, most people laugh at it nowadays,
yeah.
and stuff like that. But their finance portion is usually on point. So it's actually, you know, you can get a fairly good grasp of what's going on. Because they usually post all the latest news and so on and so forth on it. Rather quickly. The next thing would be Zacks.com. Which, if you've seen, like, my stock analysis things, it'll have, like, that's where it has, like, all the little different graphs and uh-huh. stuff like that. And it'll just put, like, hey, they're... have like $3 billion of debt, but they're only making like $100 million a year and stuff like that. So mm-hmm. you can, it literally just breaks it down and you can, like, okay, well, that's a red flag right there.
Yeah. And just to plug it again, is to go back to your Instagram post. It's like the way that you write up the images that you share is like, it puts it in like a average dude term. It's like, when I look at the picture, it's like, I don't know what I'm looking at. But then I read your post and I was like, okay. I halfway understand now. Like, go back to Suburban for a second, but, like, just to go on just about the different types of investing. That's a bit more on the conservative. What about the risk takers?
The risk takers is basically how I lost $10,000. That's the active day trading, maybe swing trading. The day trading is basically where you buy a stock and you sell it that day, usually within, like, 10, 15, 20 minutes. And you mainly only do that with, like, stocks with high volatility, which means, you know, they're constantly going up and down and stuff like that. You either buy the dip, sell at the peak, or buy the peak, sell at the dip if you're doing options, you know, stuff like that. Then swing trading is just basically where you buy a stock, hold on to it, and usually like a day or two, you'll sell it back after it's, you know, hit its bottom. And that's just like, that's the more active trading.
Yeah.
Another one is options trading. Which is not like, you don't buy stocks. What you do is you buy contracts. And contracts are 100 shares of that stock.
Whoa.
Yeah. It's kind of like the big leads, you know.
Yeah.
But, and most of the time you can do it fairly easy. They do what they call naked calls. which is where you don't actually own the stock, because you're supposed to own the stock when you do this.
Yeah.
But people like me, you know, risk takers.
Yeah.
We don't. We just, you know.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Go for it. Yeah. And like, we'll be trading contracts for like several thousands of dollars, or not even thousands of dollars, like several thousands of shares of Amazon at like $1,800 a share. And we're just like, oh, I was like, I got it. All right, went up, sold it. Just gone. Yeah. So there's like some risk for it all and stuff like that. Like one of them, if is called a put, like I've already explained. But if like the price drops to that price that you had, you know, set to, and you don't get rid of it by the time like the expiration date comes along, congratulations, you've got to buy all that stock now.
Ooh.
Yeah. Oof. Yeah, I was about to say, and like a lot of people like me back then were playing 0-day stock or 0-day options, which means they expired that day. If you didn't get rid of it by 3 p.m., you had it.
So like you were playing with imaginary money at that point, or what was that 0-day?
It was imaginary money, I guess, according to the stock market, because I didn't own it. I mean, I had like money saved up because you still get money for, you know, selling and buying contracts and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But like if I would have got, what was the word they called it? If I would have got set to pay for those contracts, I'd be probably going to jail, or at least court one, because
yeah.
So
yeah. Well, let's, after like talking about these different types of investing, like I don't know, I've told you is I want to build a portfolio to where when, let's just say if I accrued a $5,000 over the 50 that I initially spent, and I want to take 25 and 25. I want to be risky, and then I want to play it safe with dividends. It's like, is there any sense in that?
There is, and that actually brings me to one of the strategies you can do. Now, you can't really do it with like just $50 unless you're playing like penny stocks.
Yeah.
But and penny stocks are basically stocks that are less than $8 is what most people do. But like there's like some things that are like 1/4 of a penny. It's like the lowest I think you can go. So, but one of the actual strategies you can do is a combination of both. It's long holding, you know, a stock, as well as doing options. Because some people that I know will actually buy 100 shares of like a cheap stock. Well, you know, relatively cheap stock, like Snapchat or something, because I think it's like $15 a share, so 100 of them is what, $15,000?
Mm-hmm.
But I know it sounds like a lot of money, but and then what they'll do is they'll sell options, because you can buy options all day long, but you can sell options and people will buy the options, you know, trying to trade them out and stuff like that. But as long as that option expires without hitting that price tag, you collect all that money that that person spent on it.
Whoa.
So like, say like the contract itself costs $100, and like the contract expired in a week. Well, you could sell the contract, which means if it got to a certain point and the person executed it, that's the word I was looking for, executed that contract.
Well, like gave that money for it.
Yeah, gave that money for it. Well, you pretty much a win-win either way. I mean, because you'll get paid for, you know, the stock at that price along with whatever money they paid for the contract. So either way, you're ahead. And then when it comes down to it, you could just rebuy the stock, or you could do like some people do, and they'll just buy a put, you know, lower down, execute that put, and then, you know, get that stock back at a lower price, and then have all that money, you know, left over from, you know, the selling all that stock at that price plus the premium of the contract. And it's just, it probably sounds like a lot.
Yeah.
But it's just a way to basically just build up money doing the same thing over and over again. And there's people that do that. So, It's just
yes, that's a lot. Like I don't know where to start with that. I don't know. Like I thought I understood put, and now I don't know if I do.
Well, basically, so you like before I said you have the naked call and the naked put, yeah. Right? That means you don't have that stock. Well, this is the same thing except it's a covered call and a covered put. So if that, you know, thing gets exercised, because you're selling a contract. So if someone exercises that contract, it's like, hey, I want that 100 shares for, you know, 15.
X amount.
Yeah. then you're like, okay, here's your 100 chairs. So, and most people usually only do it with calls because they want, of course, want the stock to go up.
Mm-hmm.
So, either way, it's a win-win because, say you bought all the stock at $15 and you have one for like $16. Like you sell a contract for $16. Well, the stock goes up and that person executes that contract.
I understand it now.
Okay.
Okay. So let me reiterate it to you and make sure I do.
All right.
It's like, let's just take Snapchat.
Yeah.
For instance, we called it at $15 a share. Mm-hmm. We buy $100 worth of shares.
100 shares worth of.
100 shares worth of $15 shares. Mm-hmm. $1,500.
Yeah, okay, I can't do math. Is it 15,000 or
1,500? It's 1,500. And we make a contract.
We sell a contract.
At 3,000. So what we're saying is, like, we believe in the expired amount of time that this stock will double. And someone will buy that thinking that, I think it's going to triple or quadruple.
Mm-hmm.
And so if they take that contract at what you pay, they'll get theirs and then some, and then you get, what do you get?
So, okay. So, we'll go with your example.
Did I screw?
No, I mean, you got there and then, yeah. Like, it gets kind of confusing, I know.
Okay.
So, we bought it at 15, we think it's going to be 30, so it'll be a $3,000 contract.
Yeah.
Like I said, okay. So, what will happen is, You'll sell one contract, which is 100 shares, for 30. You know, for a $30, what's called a strike price. It's going to be this price at this date.
Mm-hmm.
So help me God, you know?
Yeah.
So you'll sell that. The money the person paid for goes basically in, like, its own little bubble. So, like, if that contract for all those shares cost $500. Cost $500 and they bought it. That means that $500 goes into like a little bubble. It's yours now as long as that price doesn't reach that amount.
Oh.
So you get that $500. If that price doesn't reach that amount, guess what? You got $500 and you still have your 100 shares.
Oh.
But if it reaches that amount, by the time the expiration date comes by, it'll sell. So you get that $3,000 for, you know, those shares, plus the $500 for that contract. So you're still better off, you know, overall. So
yeah, that is not for the weak at heart. You need to be, you need to know the stock you bought and the contract you made, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, I do it sometimes with, it's considered a penny stock that I have in my portfolio, and it's called Permiaville. And it's a monthly dividend stock. It was paying like 4 cents a share, and I bought it at like 98 cents, I think. So I mean, it's pretty easy to make money from. And they started cutting their dividends. I think it's now like a penny for every share. So it's not, I mean, it's not really, you know, a lot of money.
Yeah.
But they're still paying with, and it's so little of my money tied up into it that I just keep it anyway. But I have 157 shares, so when it starts getting time for the what's called the dividend EX date, which is the last day you can, you know, before they record who all owns the stock to pay dividends to later on, it'll run up. And it usually gets close to $2. So I'll go in there and I'll put in a contract for $2. I mean, it's, you know, a penny stock. Not many people are going to buy a lot of, you know,
yeah,
contracts for this. And it's not going to be a lot of money, but I can usually make like $30 off of it.
There you go. It's just about knowing the market and knowing the people who play it.
Yeah, because, I mean, right now there's
So how long have you been in the market?
In total overall or just here, like, for this portfolio?
Overall.
Overall, well, if you count this time for this portfolio, which has been, what, 3 months now, I think? Week 12 is the newest video, so.
Mm-hmm.
So, 3 months, then you have probably a year before when my wife was pregnant, and then I did it when I was in Iraq.
Okay.
Because we had the crappiest internet known to man.
But, yeah.
But believe it or not, when we get off mission, like at 4-5 o'clock in the afternoon,
yeah,
we'd go eat lunch, or not lunch, but dinner, and then the stock market would open up at like 6.
Yeah.
So like, instead of having to be like, oh man, I gotta watch my stocks, me and my buddies, we just trade stocks like
pretty easy.
Yeah.
Just, from where we're sitting.
Just out in the desert, just training.
Yeah.
We were just, it was weird too, because, like, it was just a few of us doing it, and, like, we were, like, the biggest nerds, it seemed like, while we were out there, because, like, everyone else would be, like, sitting back, like, suntanning, or, like, trying to just, like, relax and stuff, and we're over there huddled up by, like, the little antenna sitting there, like, with our laptops.
I want this stuck.
And I did that pretty much the entirety of Iraq, and then some when I went back into Hawaii. So maybe 3 years.
How'd total. You get into it?
It was actually when I was in Iraq. It was a, what was it? We had a friend who was a contractor, and I haven't talked to him pretty much since the year after we got back. And I literally don't know what his name was. We called him Beardface.
That's wild.
Yeah, like, because we were all of us like scrubs, so we'd call him Beardface, yeah. You know?
Yeah.
And he came over, and, like, he was a contractor, which, by the way, military contractors get paid big money. Like, he got paid, like, over six digits a year.
So, whoa.
Yeah. And he was just, a translator for, like, a higher-up. And so he was American and stuff. He wasn't, like, a, you know...
Yeah.
Like a...
some off guy.
Yeah.
Foreigner.
So, and his job was just to go around, translate, and, like, help rebuild, you know, certain Iraq areas. And one day, like, we caught him throwing up because he had gotten sick or something like that. And, like, we were just laughing, you know, cutting up with him.
Yeah.
And he was like, hey, he was like, what do y'all guys do with all y'all's money? And at first I thought he was trying to scam us or something.
Yeah.
Because, like, I mean, like, we made some, you know, decent money when we were, you know, deployed and stuff like that. But, I mean, like, most of us didn't really, you know, go around talking about it. So we were like, you know... Mm-hmm. Paying off a truck, or is going home to my wife, or, you know, so on and so forth. And
whatever the case.
Yeah, and he's like, you should invest it. And we were like, what?
Huh?
Invest? In what? Sand and pebbles?
These damn spider monkeys?
It was like, that little throw up pit you got over there? But, and he showed us how to create our first, like, I guess, logins for, I think we were using Capital One's investing platform.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, is just horrible. Sorry if you're hoping for, like, a sponsor for Capital One and they hear this, I'm sorry, they're just horrible.
They're not gonna get it. Fine with me.
But yeah, and he showed us his portfolio. He had a, it was like a $400,000 portfolio.
Wow.
Yeah. And like,
and how long had he been working at it?
He had been working on it since he was probably about 20, I think he said, like, 20, 21.
Mm-hmm.
And he was probably about my age now, so he's, like, early 30s.
Yeah, there you go. So,
and, like, by the way, this guy was awesome, because when we got back, he took us out and stuff like that. And
yeah.
He was like,
the only time he was concerned about was a good one.
Yeah, pretty much. I think I was even like, marry me, you know? But he was cool. He showed us a little bit of the ropes, and, you know, what to look for. And I made some money, you know, trading over there. I didn't make much compared to, you know, how much. I wasn't really too invested in it. It was just something to kind of distract me while I was over there. Yeah. I think I made like $14,000 while I was over there, the entirety.
Yeah. Well, how long were you over there?
A year. So.
Yeah, so.
And I mean,
and
I
that's made, money making money.
Yeah. Well, I mean, at the time, like, $14,000 really wasn't much to us, because we were making like $5,000 a paycheck.
Yeah.
And, you know, Hawaii prices and stuff like that, it was kind of inflated a lot. So.
Yeah.
But, so we were like, $14,000, yeah, whatever, you know. But, yeah, I never really thought about that. He would literally give me, like, what I needed to, you know, start investing. Because it wasn't until, if I'm not mistaken, because I did it all the way up until probably a year and a half after I got back. And then at that time, it was just impossible to day trade, because I'd have to wake up so early in the morning. I think I had to wake up like 1 a.m.
Yeah.
in Hawaii to do it. And, you know, wake up at 1 a.m. to do it and then have to stay awake all day and do all that stuff. It just wasn't worth it. So.
Yeah. Well, man, are there areas in stock that we haven't covered yet? Like, anything that you could think of that people should be aware of? Or maybe hold on to?
Well, I mean, the basic things, like when I first started on the dividend portfolio, I didn't really know anything about dividend stocks. And I'll admit to it, because it was a lot of research is what I ended up having to do. Because I was basically like Googling up like, what is it, a website called dividend.com. And like, I was like top, you know, set or top grossing dividend stock, high yield stock or whatever. Mm-hmm. And like, they just give me this list. Had no clue what these companies did.
Yeah.
But it was like, hey, but if I hold on to him, it was like, I get like 10 cents a share and it only costs like a dollar. So, you know, I was like, heck yeah, throw money into that.
It'll add up quick.
Yeah, but at 10%
of what you put in.
But the very first company I threw money at, the very first, literally I threw money into it. The next day it went bankrupt.
Heartbreaker. It's like, no wonder it was a dollar.
But, like, this is before I did any kind of research on the company and stuff like that. And, like, I knew that they were making the last dividend payment and stuff like that. And I was like, that's cool. I missed that one, but whatever. But apparently, like, 2 months prior, it had announced that it was going bankrupt at this date. But, like, I didn't look at any of that, like, any of that information or nothing. So I was like, yeah, throw money at it. And luckily, Robinhood, as gracious as they were, apparently thought I was, I guess, needless to say, was a dumbass, and they like credited back all my money the next day. Yeah, so it was like a English stock from like Britain or somewhere over there. It was listed on the New York Stock Exchange, and I think it had like a 30, 35, almost 40% dividend yield, which is just massive. I've learned now that is a red flag.
Yeah.
So when it usually has like a super high yield like that, it usually means that either A, it's not sustainable, or, you know, it's not going to keep up. Like, it might be good for a short-term kind of thing, but... So I was like, oh, yeah, like, because I'd be getting, like, 40 cents for every dollar that I put into it. And I was like, I'm going to throw... I think I threw $300 into it. It's the first stock I bought. And went to bed. Next day, it was gone. Like, my positions were just gone.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I was like, it showed I had no money. I had the stock saved on my watch list. It was gone.
Yeah.
And like anytime I tried to look it up, it was just like a flat line. It had $0, $0, $0.
Right.
So like I was freaking out. And then like after looking around for probably like a good 30 minutes or so, I finally found out that it was that day that I had placed that buy was the last day that stock was on the market. Like, it had went bankrupt.
Oh, no. What's up, guys?
If you're in here, you gotta be a little quiet, okay?
Oh.
Is it a microphone on?
It is on, buddy.
Hello?
You don't have to get that close. You can be right there.
Well, hello?
Yeah.
You want to say hello, too?
Hello?
You don't have to get that close. See how far away I am?
Oh, no.
You don't have to do that.
Don't touch me.
Why is it not making the sound I make?
Because it's going into the computer, and we don't have anything to hear what's coming out.
Hello?
So what about karate? What'd you learn today?
I got my white belt.
Is that right?
What?
Is that right?
Yes.
You got that white belt.
Yeah. Hey. Okay. Yeah, so I freaked out when I first woke up. Could not find the stock. It was not on my watch list. It wasn't even listed that I had money. I had zero money in my Robinhood, and I was freaking out. Because, like, you know, like average guy, I don't have a lot of money. So, like, $300, you know, that's something you...
It's substantial.
Yeah. For, you know, regular average people, yes. That is very substantial. Yeah. That's
a car bill payment, or two.
Insurance, yeah. Something. And then I was freaking out, and I tried hitting up all the little rumor mill websites looking for this stock, and, like, that's when it was like, all right, so it went bankrupt. Yesterday was the last day it was traded, and I was like, oh, my God. I was like, I have screwed up. I was like, my first outing back into stocks, and I screwed up.
Yeah.
And then I got an email, like, 30 minutes to an hour after that, and from Robinhood, and it's like, oh, we noticed that you know, bought stocks and other bankrupt stocks. Here's your money back.
God save.
I know. I was like,
thank you.
And after that point, I was like, I need to start actually vetting these stocks that I go into. Now, I did like, and like from then, I did have a few that, you know, are kind of iffy, but they're, you know, they're a safe iffy, you know.
Yeah.
So I just grew it from there, and I mean, I'm still learning now.
Yeah. So. And so I guess like we're going to walk in out the door now, but what I want to offer to you is like just to continue to come on the show and to continue to like as much as you would like to share a little bit about the portfolio and be kind of like the financial guy, the guy that can kind of speak over stocks and things for the show, if you're good with that.
Yeah, I'm good with that. I can do that. I was about to say, as you can tell, I like talking about investing. Yeah.
So. Obviously passionate about it.
Yeah, it's definitely one good things I'm actually good at, and for some reason. I don't know why. So.
Yeah, and I mean, we've had our conversations, like I'll write you at 9 o'clock at night and be like, if you had 50 bucks, what would you do right now? Or if you had 100 bucks, and you're just like, three.
I was sending back some books now.
Yeah, I was like, you write books. And I'm like, I got options. So, yeah, man, I would definitely look for that. And so, Scott, anything else to add or subtract before we go?
No, not really. I was about to say, like I said, I don't mind coming back in, talking more about it. I mean, we've already plugged my... YouTube several times.
Yeah, let's talk about that for a minute. It's like, so AD Investing, where all can you find it?
I have an Instagram, which is AD_investing.
Mm-hmm.
I have YouTube, which is AD Investing. Like, even though I say AND Investing, it's
AD.
You can't put an and for some reason. So
yeah, the ampersand.
And then
kills it.
I actually now have a Twitter, so that's something new that I added like within the last week. So.
It's a great way to get polarizing.
It's actually, Twitter is one of the major ways that a lot of the stock community gets information about stocks.
That's true.
You know, like how
Twitter is very fast paced.
Yeah, Twitter and, you know, Instagram uses the hashtags. Where,
yeah.
And Twitter, if you want to look up a stock, all you have to do is put a dollar sign in the ticker symbol, and like it'll pull up all the information like anyone's ever posted on that stock.
There you go.
So I mean, if like say you're in a pinch and like your stock just disappeared. That's actually one of the places I went to first was Twitter. I put in its stock symbol and hit it, and I was like, oh crap, it went bankrupt.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, we're doing that now. There's not as many, you know, posts on there as, you know, as my Instagram. Instagram is basically where I do most of my communicating with, you know, regular people and stuff.
Yeah,
so.
That's where I follow it the most for sure.
Yeah, because I usually have like 4 or 5 posts a day.
Mm-hmm.
So. But other than that, yeah, man.
Well, cool. Well, Scott, thank you so much, man. It's good to sit down with you again. It's good to, man, it was too long, man. It was good to sit down with you again, man.
Yeah, too bad they don't get to hear, like, the hour we had just sitting around talking before.
Ah, man. No, don't mind the chaos. That's just life now, right?
Yeah. Well, I was about to say, like I said, man, just things change. I mean, all of us, we didn't know this is how everything was going to end up, you know, 10 years down the road. We thought we're all... probably going to be sitting around Millport
Doing
Kennedy.
The same thing.
Yeah. Stealing scarecrows from Dollar General.
That's just it, right? Well, dude, thank you so much for sitting on. We're out of here.
All right, man.
News and notes. Thank you so much for listening to Porch Talk. If you haven't done so already, I would ask that you would rate and review the show on whatever podcast app it is that you're listening to on. We're on YouTube, social media, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Yeah, did it. AD Investing, check that out. He is on Twitter and Instagram and on YouTube. AD Investing, average dude. The journey to 100K. It's cool things. And we'll have him back on the show to talk about it some more. To walk it on out the door with your notes, here are the Blips. This is a band out of Birmingham, a super group, if you will, in my opinion. This is a song called Inside Out.
Gotta have it to love my heart, beat to my bosoms. Sometimes I can't. spring. Nothing like the world progressing towards summer to inspire your own progress. That's what life's all about, in your career, relationships, and your finances. Let's talk about that last one. With the Chime Secured Credit Builder Visa Credit Card, it's easy to start building credit with everyday purchases and regular on-time payments with no annual fees or interest. So your weekly grocery run can feel even more productive, and that morning coffee can taste like a little victory. And if your credit scores grow, so could your opportunities to get lower rates on loans, like for a new ride or finally having a home to call your own. Sounds like progress, right? With Chime's secure credit card, you can start improving your credit scores right away. Get started today at chime.com/build. That's chime.com/build. Chime feels like progress. The Chime Credit Builder Visa Credit Card is issued by the Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. members FDIC. Out-of-network ATM withdrawal and OTC advance fees may apply. Terms and conditions apply. Go to chime.com/disclosures for details.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.